Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Major contracts signed over the weekend. Quarterbacks getting paid. Well, everybody but Dak Prescott. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. No, Dak still has to wait. But Tua Tagovailoa, Perloff, very rich man now. 4 years, $212 million. It's the largest contract in the history of the Miami Dolphins because they've been wandering a bit in the quarterback desert for quite some time. Some of the particulars, $93 million guaranteed at signing, a $42 million signing bonus. It's 12th among contracts. What I think about this contract and why I like it, I'm a big fan of this contract for the Miami Dolphins. Did you know that less than 40% of the whole thing is guaranteed? And there's a potential out before the year 2027 with a very little dead cap number. So I actually think that the Dolphins were kind of smart here. I think fans I know are not happy with this contract because they're worried about Tua, his health. Mm-hmm. He's a product of the system. He can't win in the playoffs. They never beat good teams. I understand all that. But what you're essentially doing is kind of front-loading this contract, and you are not tying yourself forever to Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, it's 3 years. I thought you would say before 2026, maybe 2 years would have been better. You're kind of got 3 years here. What happens in the 3 years? Steven Ross is 82 years old.
Well, I'm not worried about that.
The owner.
I can't be worried about that.
I'm just saying, where is this team going? They haven't been good in forever. Does this contract make you think that this is going to put them over the top?
You know, this contract, I don't think they're getting further away, and I don't think Tua is the reason they would be getting further away. And here's the thing. Why is it a criticism of a guy if he fits well in a system? I'm being told that's one of the great things about Purdy. I'm told that's one of the great things about, honestly, Jared Goff. Like, they're being good in a system and having good skill position players around you is a formula for winning. So why all of a sudden is Tua the guy who gets dinged for it?
I just think that, well, first of all, health. That's the first thing. I'm sure you're saying some fans are upset because they don't trust that Tua is going to be healthy. The other thing, too, is the system is good. For some reason, it just doesn't feel like it has any chance of taking him over the top. Honestly, if you go back to that draft, Tua went right before Justin Herbert. If you had Justin Herbert there for this money, then I would be, okay, we got something. And I'm a Tua fan. I just don't see where this is headed. I just don't think that he is an elevator in himself to take them anywhere. They haven't been to a NFC title games. AFC title games since 93, and it doesn't feel like they're going to make it within the next five to 10 years.
Well, see, I don't know about that because this is a guy who can deliver the football. And if I am building my team in that way, then Tua could be in some ways maybe the perfect guy. And I'm not, here's the thing about the health. Like, that is, who knows? I'm a little dubious on the fact that he did gain some weight last year, and it seemed like it did help him become, like, more sturdy, and then all of a sudden he lost all the weight this year.
I am, too. That is very strange to me.
I was kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing, but we'll see how that plays out. This is a really dangerous sport, and I think the fact is nobody knows. And that could happen to Tua, and it could happen to Josh Allen. It could happen to a guy who's small, and it can happen to a guy who's big.
No, that's not true. You cannot say that the same health risk for Tua Tagovailoa as Josh Allen. I understand what you're saying. Anybody can get hurt at any time. It just doesn't feel the same, and I think the data proves that. Josh Allen is durable.
No, but I think there's a part of it. I'm talking about when it's head injuries and when it's concussions, right? I mean, that can happen to any person. I do honestly believe that. And so I think that Tua showed you that he can play the 17 games, and I don't think you were ready to move on from him. And so if you weren't, then you decided that you wanted to stick with Tua. Was there ever a scenario where the Miami Dolphins could have traded Tua maybe before the draft this year? Now, that would have been a drastic reset. You take a guy who led the league in passing yards this year, and you basically put him on the market, and you may have gotten, a late first-round pick? Because he also would have had to get gotten paid, of course.
You would have had to do a six-round pick swap What are you talking about? First round pick so somebody can pay Tua Tagovailoa $200 billion? No team wanted to do that.
Well, you're essentially paying him $167 million, if that feels any better, think, for 3 years. But I get your point.
I just think teams value quarterbacks on rookie deals so much. There's no way they're going to be like, well, Tua, who's injury prone, just got through his rookie deal. Let's take him now. That would make no sense at all.
Well, I think that when you don't want to know what life is like without a quarterback. Like, here's the thing. Could you say to a team, and this is something the Dolphins could have done, but they decided not to, I have a proven commodity. I know this person can play in the NFL, and they can play at a very high level.
Sure.
I don't know that about Bo Nix. I don't know that about J.J. McCarthy. I don't know that about Drake May. I mean, I don't know that about some guys, and I know that the contracts will make it so that the rookie's more valuable. But I also have I do have proof with Tua that he can play quarterback and can get you to the playoffs.
Right, but you know that Tua has not been able to get to the Dolphins to Super Bowl. You don't know that Drake May is not going to get to the Super Bowl within his rookie deal. I mean, generally, there usually is a rookie deal in the Super Bowl every year. And you already know that Tua did not get it done in his first go-round. So I think I keep getting back to this. I think having basically opportunity a quarterback to get the next guy is a big deal. You don't want to get tied in to the current guy, because then you're stuck. It's like an NBA contract. Like, the worst thing you could do is pay Paul George $300 million at age 35. That's going to kill my Sixers.
Pull that out of nowhere.
Everybody knows that, you know, the lack of flexibility is the real problem.
Okay, but I also understand that you don't want this revolving door all the time, right? And you don't, because quarterbacks hit at this very low rate generally, when you have one that actually can play and can win games, that's not somebody you really want to throw away. And we always bring up the 49ers. We talk about them a lot on this show. They're going to pay Purdy when they could do the same thing. They've got great skill position players. They could just keep drafting the next guy. Your Philadelphia Eagles, draft the next guy, draft the next guy. And they're not going to do that, because at some point you do have to pony up for somebody who is running your system in a more than competent way. And so that's now just the going rate for quarterbacks. And again, I like what they did here. 3 years to me is not eternity.
Yeah.
It's not eternity. And, you know, the Dolphins are going to be one of those teams where you're not going to be picking in the top 10 anyway. You're too good.
Ooh, I don't know. This reminds me so much of the Kyler Murray deal, kind of similar structure, a little shorter term. I just worry about the Dolphins are kind of old and injury prone. And it's not a piece of talent. If you put their talent in week one up against anybody, yeah, they have tons. It just feels like they always fall apart. And you pointed out, this might not be fair, but he needs to play in warm weather in the postseason too. That's a big issue. That's why I have trouble picturing this Dolphins team getting over the top. I mean, in 5 years, if you're paying him 300, 3 years, say, it ends up being $167 million. Do you expect a Super Bowl out of that? Is that a fair expectation, or are we giving up on that?
You and I always talk about this. What does $55 million buy you in this day and age? What is $55 million,
in
this case,
game?
$53 million a year for Tua? What is the expectation that goes along with that? Because, yes, I do think it's okay to be putting Super Bowl expectations on someone who's getting paid that much. And you and I have argued about that quite a bit. I think maybe a good poll question today. Do you like the Tua contract? Yes, no? I like it. I like it. I borderline love it.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Because you're not going to Mike White.
Well, who cares about this year? I mean, he was under contract. You could have just kept him this year. The question is, what if at a certain point under this contract, he gets hurt, they have a bad year, and they're sitting there with a stud at number 7 in the draft?
Listen, I think that what would happen is you would franchise tag him once. You franchise tag him again. It becomes a massive story / distraction, whatever. I think to pay a little bit more to get your quarterback under contract for 3 measly years is worth it to me than to go through the whole rigmarole every year, a franchise tag, and is he going to show up, and then how much is he going to play at training camp, and what does this mean for Mike McDaniel? You can eliminate all of that. There's no noise. It's all about football. I think this was a smart move. And I don't think the Dolphins are like this amazingly smart organization, but I like this.
Well, the other thing too, there's nobody to pay in 3 years. Everybody's gone, except it's going to be Tua and Jalen Waddle.
Right.
Because Tyreek Hill's 31. Raheem Mostert, I think, is 32. They're starting running back. Teron Armstead, their left tackle's 33. They let go of a bunch of good young defensive players. So Bradley Chubb, they already paid. And I just think that they're kind of an old, creaky, injury-prone team. They make me nervous. Yes, they're so exciting. They're going to look. They're going to blow out someone in week three, just like last year, Maggie. We're all going to get high on them. Can they last? Also, again, I keep getting back to this defense. And I know that's not about Tua's contract. But the fact that Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are on the PUP list right now, they both got injured in December.
Yep.
Like, we don't even know if they're going to be playing. I just can't get high on this team at all.
It's going to have to be guys stepping up. And I saw, did Shaq Barrett just like, did he sign with
just
them?
Walked
retired,
away.
Right?
Just walked away. He's like, I'm going home to my family.
Interesting. Anyway, 855-212-4227. May I also counter with this with the Miami Dolphins? Yeah. Is that Mike McDaniel created this, what is essentially like a cheat code on offense. And if he has anything left in terms of scheme and mismatches, like if he's got more to show us as an offensive coach, then I think the league is going to be in trouble. I think the Dolphins are going to be a factor. 855-212-4227.
How many points did they score against Kansas City in that playoff game?
Listen, again, no, they shouldn't have been playing that game. It was 30 degrees below zero. That's silly.
Do you know why they were playing that game? Because they lost their last two games of the season. One to Baltimore, 56-19. And then they lost your Bills, 21-14. That electric offense sort of fizzled at the end. So you're right. It was a cheat code early in the season.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't mention, they will have Devon Achan coming back. He's pretty exciting, the running back. But they do fit. They're old. They brought in your guy Jordan Poyer, and he's not even like the oldest defender.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. 855-212. Good leader. 855-212-4227. Okay, so that's the Dolphins side of things. You can weigh in if you're a Dolphins fan or a Tua fan or what have you. Is this quarterback a good contract or a bad one? The voting is open. The Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket, final four. One side of the bracket ended in a dead tie. Cheers in the office. 50-50,
amazing.
Just all square. So we need to go to a runoff here.
So the poll is up, right?
Poll is up. EJ, you've got an update for us.
We have 94 votes into this poll.
Not many.
It is 51-49 right now. Still.
Did you vote?
No.
I didn't vote yet either.
I might abstain.
No,
I'm not sure. I want the people to decide here. I am voting on, do you like the new Tua contract?
Let me guess, you're one of the no's?
I'm going to vote no. I don't hate it. I actually totally agree. The short-termness of it is really smart. I think that it probably took them a few weeks to convince Tua to do 4 years instead of five like everybody else. But that being said, I just am way down on the Dolphins. I think they're just mediocre. I think they're going to be the wild card team again at best and be out. So I'm just a little down on their future. And because, can we talk about the fact that they have not been elite forever? It's been so long. I mean, you were an AFC East fan. When have you been scared of the Dolphins?
When they started running that Wildcat. Remember
Yeah,
that?
Ronnie Brown. Oh, that was sick.
That
okay.
was the year that Brady got hurt.
Year.
I was like, what are they doing?
That was a
Brad
great year.
Brad Smith was the other guy, right?
Well, Brad Smith, the Jets guy, was he down there?
I think he was
down
there, too.
The Missouri quarterback.
But Ronnie Brown, for sure. You're right.
Ronnie Brown, man, when he lined up a quarterback, that was the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. I wrote like 17 stories for SI.com about the Wildcat.
Zoo, what did you say about your?
Wasn't Ricky Williams a part of that crew, too?
Was he still on the team when they went to the Wildcat? EJ's giving the thumbs up.
That
yeah,
was his
he was.
Comeback, right? That was his comeback tour?
Amazing. It was like not innovative because it was basically like the wishbone, but it was so different.
Just a running back played quarterback. It was kind of cool. I did actually.
People didn't know how to stop it.
I did do one story. Just embarrassing. Have you ever asked a really bad question to a pro athlete?
Definitely.
Okay.
I mean, you do this long enough, you're definitely going to ask some bad questions.
I was at SI. I was obsessed with the Wildcat. I'm like, this is the future of NFL. We've seen it. Let me go interview a bunch of people about it and we'll do a little story. I went down to Michael Vick had just gotten out of jail and gone to the Eagles. I'm like, are you excited to be a Wildcat quarterback? He looked at me and he said, you think I'm a Wildcat quarterback? I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Vick.
All of a sudden you're in Leavenworth. You're like, How am I behind bars right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you think I'm a Wildcat quarterback like that Dolphins running back? And I'm like, no.
Just slink out of the locker room?
Yeah, because he would line up at quarterback. Yeah, because obviously he was a quarterback. That was a wild time. Remember we thought that it would stay around forever? They do it occasionally. Like, some guys will take direct snaps.
Yeah, I know it happens. Like, Debo and stuff like that. But, like, then Tom Brady came back, and it was like, oh, right. That can't win.
Tim Tebow was kind of a wildcat quarterback. He had no interest in throwing the ball.
they looked a little wobbly. I'm trying to think of now the worst question I ever asked a professional athlete. Now you got me thinking.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure you have some doozies, Maggie. You must have some doozies.
You're killing me this morning.
Have you ever been yelled at? I know. You've told me a bunch of stories. There's so many I can't remember where guys were just like about to walk away from the set. Because you'll ask the tough questions. I will give you full credit.
Yeah,
you
I did not shy questions. Away. I mean, Jamal Adams stopped doing interviews with us because I asked him about scrubbing the Jets from his social media. He wasn't happy about that. That was a good question, just a bad answer by him. Have I been yelling?
We can take a break and you can tell us
the
story.
Can I think about it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, it's not think about it because you have very few options. You have so many options.
No, I mean, I'm not like an agitator, but kind
of. Well, actually, no, it's not even that. You've interviewed a lot of people. I just think that's the nature of the game.
Yeah, no, it just happens.
It's not always you. It's often them.
That I've had guys who came in and said, I absolutely will not answer this. And I'll say, well, I have to ask you about it. And you can answer it however you want to answer it. And that's gone various different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I've ever been intimidated in an interview, and I don't think he was even doing it on purpose. He was just a very intimidating presence. So I don't want to, he wasn't threatening or anything like that. I was just very intimidated. Mm-hmm. Was Warren Sapp. And I actually had some other questions I was going to ask him that were way more like probing. And it's the only time I ever like backed off.
Wow.
Yeah. And he wasn't like threatening me or anything. Yeah. I just was intimidated by him.
My most intimidating ever was Pat Riley because he was so darn handsome. I'm like, I can't even look at you right now.
Not the same. 855-212-4227.
Pat Riley was totally terrifying, by the way. Riley after a loss, you kidding me?
That's all that Schenectady, man.
You don't mess with that.
I know that. That's me right there.
That's so true.
Okay. Let me think about that. Worst question ever.
I could share you the celebrities I accidentally hacked on Friday too. We can do a double dip.
We've got to get the update on Perloff's Twitter account getting hacked. And then him DMing every celebrity who follows him to tell them don't click on the link.
not a good weekend. Nope. Not fun.
All right. We got lots to do on this Monday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Maggie and Perloff.
All right, we're back on Maggie and Perloff. I'm so excited. Maggie, you promised us a list of people you've annoyed slash upset. Yeah. And I think
angered.
It's a badge of honor for a good media interviewer to upset people. Really, you have to.
Yeah.
You're a wimp if you don't like me. But Maggie, and I've seen it in action. Can you tell us some of the people who've gotten mad at you through the years?
Yeah, I can't. I will not say these are because of bad questions. That's how this started. You asked Michael Vick what it was like to be run the Wildcat. This is a little different than that. I'm sure I have asked a million bad questions, but I'm thinking more about people who got mad at me while we were doing interviews. I've got six that I remember off the top of my head. Oscar De La Hoya, who did come back on with us to do an interview about his documentary.
Yeah, he was great.
So he and his people all got very mad at me once at Sports Illustrated because he came in with Canelo Alvarez and I asked about a recent DUI that he had. He was not happy about that.
Ooh.
Dana White got mad at both of us. This was a little bit back in the day.
That was when you and I first worked together. I'm like, uh-oh, she's getting me in trouble. This person is, this person might be a problem.
Yeah, we were doing a segment about not that a UFC fight was fixed, but what would happen if one was fixed? It was off like an Anderson Silva fight from like 100 years ago, like Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva thing.
It was Chris Weidman. I remember he upset Silva, and everyone's like, how did this happen?
Right.
And somehow we got talking about fixing.
Fight fixing. And we wouldn't.
Regulation. We weren't even saying this was fixed.
We never said this was fixed. Dana came after me. We did an interview, and he was like, Soledad O'Brien would never do this. I remember him saying that. And I was like, we weren't doing the same thing as Soledad O'Brien. I'm not Soledad O'Brien.
That's anyway, who he went for, Soledad O'Brien.
Since Soledad O'Brien would never do this.
Sorry, like, have you interviewed Dana White since then?
I have. And we patched things up, but you know, he's tough. T.O. almost walked out on an interview because I called him Terrell. And he said it's Terrell. And if you say Terrell again, I'm gonna leave. Rich Rodriguez got very upset that I asked about his job status when we were doing an interview with him on the Michigan campus in the Michigan locker room. We had set up this one-on-one, and I actually am still persona non grata at Michigan. The Oregon athletic director also not very happy with me because I asked about the basketball team allowing transfers who had some serious criminal record and had been accused of some very, very serious things. He did not appreciate that line of questioning, and I don't know how I stand there. And then also Chip Kelly, I did fly to Eugene to do an interview with Chip Kelly when he was the coach at Oregon. This is before I interviewed the AD. And I walk into a room. He's there. I go, Coach, I'm Maggie Gray. Thanks so much for doing this. And I was working at Sports Illustrated, and he goes, the National Enquirer prints more facts than your magazine. Mm. And there was definitely an expletive in there. And I had no idea what he was talking about. He was upset about an article that a freelancer had written about Jeremiah Masoli. It's going back a little bit. And I said, are we going to do the interview? I didn't know. I said, we flew all the way out here, but if you don't want to do the interview, then I can't make you do the interview. And he said, fine.
Yeah,
sat down and was huffy about it for 20 minutes.
Obviously, T.O., Chip Kelly, famous, tough interviews.
Yeah, Dana.
You're not there. Yeah, Dana at least has media friends. I think T.O.'s gotten mad at many people. That's why he didn't get in the first ballot Hall of Famer. It's the only reason. Because no reporter liked him. He was very difficult.
You know, I've interviewed him more times since then. You know, he's done Radio Bros. Yeah, and scrolls and stuff. But he was not happy that I said
back in the day, there was no one like T.O.
Yep. So those are just a few that came to the top of my mind. Bogus, you got any? You want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I've been thinking. The one that always comes to mind immediately was a long time ago at Sirius NFL Radio. I was working with the legendary Gil Brandt, recently passed away, and he got mad at me because I was questioning timeout usage by Herm Edwards when he was the Chiefs head coach. Again, that's how long ago this was. And I still think I was right, but I understand where Sweet Gil was coming from that day.
That's a hot take that Herm Edwards couldn't manage a timeout.
Yeah, that's my point.
I mean, come on. He had to hire a guy to tell him when to call a timeout.
I know. That's why in 2024, I stand by my take. I was not breaking news then, but it was very offensive to Gil that night that I was questioning an NFL head coach.
We recently lost Gil, yes. But he was an all-timer. What a nice man.
Yeah, he was amazing. And like the guy who basically ran the combine for many years.
Yeah. Did you guys see Mike Ornstein die? I don't know if anyone knew Ornie too. The two people ran the NFL for 40 years, Mike Ornstein and Gil Brand. Yeah. Mike Ornstein, who was went to jail for Roger Goodell, basically, went to jail for this ticket scandal around the Super Bowl, but was head of marketing forever around the NFL. But Gil, oh my gosh. Did you know Gil at all? Did you
not get really.
Oh my God. He was a former GM of the Cowboys, had stories that had stories, but he never got mad at anybody. So Bogus must have really upset him.
Well, no.
Don't go after Herm Edwards.
I disagree. He got mad at people.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not in a like holding grudges forever way, but you could definitely get Gil fired up if you had to.
You did it by accident.
Yeah, you just had to bring up Herman Edwards.
Okay, so we've had some more. I'll try to think of some more times I've angered people in interviews. Perloff, you got hacked on Friday. Let's not bury the big lead here.
That was bad. Okay, so
your social media accounts got hacked by a nefarious Putin-esque type.
Yeah, named John Rothstein.
Basketball insider John Rothstein, with a heel turn of all heel turns, hacked your account.
So, it sent out messages to anyone who had a lot of followers or something. I don't know how they found out. Just basically DM'd everyone saying, click on this because whatever. And it was a terrible hack. And I heard a lot of people, I guess it started at Paramount, I found out. They did a great job. Immediately jumped on and knew what was going on and fixed it ASAP. Full credit to them. But some of the people that got DMs from me, Tom Arnold.
Nice.
Brooklyn Decker. I know you like that one.
Yep.
Ben Stiller. I had no idea he followed me because I hate tweet the Knicks all the time. Let's see. Lane Johnson, the Eagles right tackle, used to follow me, no longer does.
Chrissy Teigen, you mentioned on Friday.
Chrissy Teigen, you know what really embarrassed me? Like, I had to send a note to Lewis Riddick, who I have so much respect for, the ESPN NFL analyst. Everybody.
Did anyone get back to you?
Yes, like three people got back to me of like, no problem. Mike Giardi, who covers the Patriots. Trevor Sikkema from PFF, who we booked out of this, by the way, which is good.
He's not on today.
The Denver NFL journalist Benjamin Albright said a nice note. But the best one was Message Board Genius, which you got me into.
Yeah, I love Message Board Genius.
Oh, it's this college football.
Anyone who loves college football, you got to.
They were like, dude, I totally understand. I'm like, I love you guys. But basically after that, it was thousands of verified NFL writers who no longer like me. But it's so embarrassing. Like, say, please don't click on this. It's just not the way you want to reintroduce yourself to someone who forgot they followed you because I randomly hit a button in 2018.
I would just love it if Ben Stiller wrote you back and it was just like, suck it, 76.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't even care about that. It's like, you know, Cousin Sal and now RG3 think I'm a weirdo. It's just terrible.
I still think you're way overthinking this. A lot of those people probably don't look at their DMs or have somebody else looking at their DMs.
I would think that. I was wondering that.
Yeah, I think the embarrassment factor is lower than you're fearing here.
Cap is saying that you need to fix your profile picture.
I know, I want to. I am not allowed.
Why?
Because basically I've had the same profile picture as this caricature of me, and I love it. It's kind of, I mean, it's old, but they won't let me reframe it and recenter it because I'm under review. As you'd expect.
Wait, so you're still under review from the hack?
Yes, which I should be. I'm glad I'm under review. Like, I have to send a note to someone to fix it. So basically, a few people have been getting hit with this. I don't want to kill X because they did a nice job helping out. Remember, I had such a panic attack on air when this happened.
I mean,
thank you,
you
guys.
Dying.
And Bogus, thank you. You filled in admirably. You guys kept your cool while I'm crying on my desk, sobbing openly.
Well, we knew it was going to be okay, but you were definitely freaking out. Which I get. I understand it. But you were going to be fine. No one thought it was you.
I don't know how, I got it. It was all my fault. I'm such an idiot. It was just a good reminder that you have to be beyond careful right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
well,
like,
you never know, Lane Johnson.
Just because you
got
a random note asking for your social, someone named Bill asked for your social security number, don't give it to them. But which I keep telling you. Right.
Your mother's maiden name, stop giving it out.
Yeah. There are no princes in other continents asking for your help.
Oh, man. They'll go to somebody else way richer.
Oh, man.
And again, by the way, thanks to X reminding me that as I texted the group, Perloff doesn't like me because I didn't get one of these DMs.
Oh,
even
you're
X
so
knows
sensitive.
We're not friends.
You're so sensitive.
Yeah, because the universe keeps reminding me.
It all
You're sad
like
that you didn't get
downhill.
The hack thing that I didn't hack you?
I wouldn't have clicked on the buttons. I would have been okay. I would just, it's nice to be nominated, you know?
You mean like...
yeah, even the like, Russian bots knew that you were not one of his top friends.
Bogus. Ooh, but I mean, that would have been an easy mark. Ooh, Perloff DM me. What could this possibly say?
Yeah.
Well, I did hear a bell in there somewhere, so you know what? I think it's about that time we hit a little bit of trivia. You know what I mean?
Sue, you're all over this.
I'm all over the place. I like to hit this trivia, though. You know, I love the trivia. I'm a big trivia guy.
We're into it.
And this is up, you know, maybe up Perloff's alley here. Philadelphia Philly.
Yes.
Richie Ashburn.
Yes.
Broke a single spectator's nose and knee bone with two separate foul balls during one 1957 game. Fact. Or fiction?
What?
I'll go
fiction.
Fact.
It is a fact. Ding, ding,
yeah.
ding.
Yeah. Who knows more Phillies trivia than me?
There's no way. Richie Ashburn was my color commentator for my whole childhood. Former Whiz kid. You got the Richie Ashburn one?
Richie Ashburn.
You're trying to help me out.
I mean, the guy's breaking legs out here.
How do you break somebody's kneecap?
I see video of this. Yeah, foul ball broke a dude's kneecap?
In 1957. I mean, what are we doing in 1957?
Also, 1957, I feel like you're wearing a full suit to the game. Like,
but they probably have those nets behind the home plate.
Yeah, right.
That could probably kill someone in 1957 with the doctors.
That's true. They did have low bone density back in 1957 as well.
Oh, sorry.
That's unconfirmed.
It was a woman who was struck. This is all a true story. Give us one more, Zoo.
All right. We'll keep it in the true or false section of the quiz here. Snoop Dogg has been banned from ever throwing out a first pitch in the MLB, fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction.
Wow, Snoop Dogg is the unofficial host of the Olympics somehow. he's on NBC more than Simone Biles, so I'm going to say fact.
It is fiction. He is allowed to throw out that first pitch, though.
He was just doing an interview the other day, like in the Milwaukee Brewers booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody loves Stu.
Have you noticed how much he's on the Olympics? It's startling. More than it's Tirico and Snoop are the basically hosting this thing.
And then he's at events. Like there's an AI Snoop or something, or there's multiple Snoops.
It's like the Pat McAfee.
Yeah, our theory on McAfee is that they've got multiple of them. Wait. The big missed opportunity. Basically, the only reason that I tuned in to the opening ceremony is I thought that Snoop would take the Olympic torch and light a blunt from it.
Oh, my God.
Didn't do it. And I think it's because of the rain.
He would have otherwise.
Yeah.
I think the French had all French people with the torch, so they weren't going to let Snoop jump in.
They got Rafael Nadal was at the end because he won so many French Opens, but he's not French.
Maggie, they're saving that one for the L.A. opening ceremony.
There
he's going to go up there.
That's true.
Oh, baby, it's going to be beautiful.
Come in with like the
torch is going to be a blunt.
No, his car is like on the hydraulics.
The low riders.
Yes.
With the Olympic torch.
Sorry, pause. I want to say they had Rafael Nadal part of that thing. That's really weak. Because it was all French athletes. It was like Tony Parker and Maresmo. Like, why Nadal was there?
Actually, he's won all those French Opens. That's why they adopted him. But no, he's Spanish.
That's super weak. I did see the French swimmer won in his hometown. That guy is super cool.
Yeah, Léon Marchand.
Yes. Like that'd be cool to win a gold in front of your home crowd.
You just thought of that?
Yeah.
You'd be awesome.
You'd be awesome.
Yeah, you're right. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Analysis. Hashtag analysis.
Let's get to the headlines.
And that's why
think
the
about
cool
it,
folks
Maggie.
Follow them.
Think about it. That's why
Ben Stiller
Frank Caliendo
can't get that anywhere else.
That's why Frank Caliendo picked up a internet virus from me because of analysis like that.
Amazing.
Hacked by a 5-year-old.
All right, what else?
Let's see.
We
have you ever won a gold medal in front of your home crowd? Bro?
I haven't, but I know it would have been. It'd be awesome if I could win a gold. I'd like to win one in Glendale, New York.
What event's coming there?
Maybe you'll get to run the torch through Glendale when they're running the torch across America in 2028.
Yeah. If you've been watching the Giants on Hard Knocks, you might have noticed head coach Brian Daboll looking a little more svelte these days. Pilates getting some credit for the weight loss, but it took a while for that relationship to blossom.
The first few weeks, I was not too pleased with it. It was pretty sore. But, you know, try to stick with it.
Unlike the rest of us, Daboll says keeping the weight off is the real battle.
It's like a roller coaster, and I'd like to say it won't be a roller coaster, but it probably will be again.
So he's down 50 pounds right now. At one point,
good for him,
he had lost 100 plus pounds and gained most of it back to need to lose the 50 here.
And his wife lost weight, too. I remember there was a New York Post story on them. It's Pilates? I thought they took the thing. No?
Well, if you're asking... Cap is in the chat saying, stop lying, he's on Ozempic.
Yeah, that's what everybody
assumed. Would be the best is if he went through this whole thing and was like, Pilates and steamed vegetables and salmon, and then everyone's like taking notes, and he goes, ah, psych, it's Ozempic. Which is fine. You got to do what you got to do. But Pilates can't do that. I'm sorry. You don't lose weight with Pilates.
You know, he's getting a lot of gruff on the internet for putting his feet up when he interviews all the draft prospects. Have you guys noticed that on Hard Knocks? Bogush, I know you like this Hard Knocks. He sits on his couch and he's laying back talking to Jaden Daniels, and everyone found that annoying.
I mean, I noticed him doing it. I had no negative reaction to it. Then I heard people freaking out, and I was like, this is what we're getting upset about? Shock.
Yeah.
It seems silly.
Which
it
part?
It does seem a little pretentious.
The anger or people or him having his feet up?
Oh, the anger. It's his own office, right?
Well, it's Shane's office. It's a GM's office,
okay, well,
but
whatever.
Same difference.
Same
yeah.
idea. I mean, okay, so you don't like the manner in which he's doing it, but is that really being disrespectful to somebody? It's like somebody like putting their arms behind their head, or is
yeah, I mean, they're in there cursing, dropping F. I mean, like, it just, I don't know, it's not like Madison Avenue. It's not like a Fortune 500 company.
I also think it could be a tactic. Like, you're trying to show you're comfortable to try to get the other person to feel comfortable,
yeah.
right? It's like, there could be a psychology behind it.
Yeah. I mean, that interview was with Jaden Daniels in particular cracked me up. He's like, before we do anything, Jaden, do you want to be a giant? And he goes, yeah. You could hear the question mark in his head. I've never seen a less enthusiastic. Yeah, I really want to fall to six to you guys. It's like, Jaden Daniels wanted to get out of that room so badly, but Dable was like basically like had a bowl of cereal on his belly button. He looked like he was watching television.
It was like, just the Froot Loops bowl.
Yeah, you guys ever do that?
But no, it's the Pilates. Yeah. Sorry. It's fine. Whatever. I mean, he's healthy. I always feel for the people who do the yo-yo diet because I'm sure it's got to be a roller coaster of emotion, not just weight, you know?
I hear you. He said in this press conference that he couldn't commit to keep doing it because now that football season's come, the early hours he was doing to do Pilates, he now can't do.
Well,
so I think the yo-yo may be coming soon, unfortunately.
Didn't Bill Belichick famously wasn't Bill Belichick always on the treadmill sort of coaching and doing stuff? I've seen videos of that. So some coaches work out.
Yeah. You can like watch film, I guess, on a elliptical. I don't know. This is the amount of hours that they keep. How can you stay healthy? I feel like coaching football is the least healthy sport.
Dave Canales, the new Panthers coach, is sending everyone home at 7 p.m. And that guy is shredded. So I think there's something there. Bogus looking at me like I'm crazy.
What's his name was like that too. Bruce Arians, you had to leave the building. He told people don't miss recitals and stuff like that.
Yes,
trying to like just kill the workload.
But you know, Bruce Arians,
he would fire coaches if they missed recitals and missed important things.
Okay,
with their
but kids. Bruce Arians would have people leave and then meet in the parking lot for a literal cocktail party that would happen out of the trunk of his car. It wasn't so he could get some miles in on the treadmill.
Well, I think the famous one is Tony Dungy sent everyone home. He stopped the building at 6 o'clock. I mean, I think Arians coached under Dungy, so that's... But Dable does not do that. That's very clear.
No.
No, he's part of the Nick Saban tree. Like, they're got to be watching film until their eyes bleed.
Yeah. Although he did take a break from draft prep to go to a pool for his birthday, but with that cigar in his mouth in the last episode when he called in. So he does have, I guess,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
He's sitting there with his 8-year-old son in a pool smoking a cigar. Well, it's a week from the draft. I'm like, dude, what are you doing
there's 50
here?
People, like, hair falling out, coffee cups everywhere in the draft room, and he's on a float with a cigar in his mouth.
Brian Dable won Hard Knocks. I'll just say right now, he looked like the coolest guy.
And he
in
put
the
his
room.
Foot down, too. Like, he was very adamant about not being a big part of it.
Yep.
And his, like, cameo is still. Carry the episode.
When they're 6-11, we'll see.
And they're talking about Bill Belichick taking over. Yeah.
Yes.
Cowboys pass rusher Sam Williams suffered a torn ACL and MCL at training camp yesterday. Chiefs D tackle Chris Jones missing yesterday's practice with a groin strain. Andy Reid said we'll see when asked how long Jones will be sidelined. Mike Trout has yet to resume running after last Tuesday's early exit from his first minor league rehab game. Trout had left knee surgery May 3rd, an MRI last week showed no new issues on the field last night. The Yankees won in Boston 8-2 rubber game with the Red Sox. And today's Olympic schedule includes the men's gymnastics team final, Djokovic against Nadal in the second round of men's tennis, and U.S. women's basketball debuting against Japan at 3 Eastern. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thanks so much. Coming up, who won the weekend? We'll tell you next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, time to do a little stock up, stock down from the weekend. Perloff, whose stock is up? And I should mention, we're going to do an all-Olympic version of Maggie and Perloff's stock up, stock down, since the games have been underway for a couple days.
Okay, I'm going to go with a gymnast you may have heard of named Simone Biles. I'm going to stock up in the sense that she had a calf injury that clearly affected her, and she's still dominated, came out with the highest all-around standings. She did her floor exercise. She stepped out of bounds, but the rest of the routine was so ridiculous. This woman can fly. I know I'm not telling you anything new. I was so impressed that she fought through that injury and still was basically the best person out there. Just an incredible reminder of she's the Michael Jordan of gymnastics, and we're lucky to see her. Hopefully this calf thing does not bother her too much, but she fought through it and was amazing.
It's a great stock up. I'm going to stay with gymnastics, but I'm going to go with the men. I did not know about Steven Nedorozkic, Perloff. He's from Worcester, Mass. Mm-hmm. He was a gymnast who went to Penn State. He's a specialist, only does the pommel horse. So he's only there for one reason. It's to do the pommel horse. This guy wears glasses that are like so thick, it looks like he could see into the future. He takes them off and then does the pommel horse. He's basically blind out there doing this all by feel. And he was good enough, I believe, to get to the qualifier. And they're got more qualifying stuff today on the men's side for gymnastics. This dude, beyond impressed. Hopefully it works out for him.
Okay. Stock down. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. A lot to go with here.
I'm going to go this commentator. I don't know if we're going to do it. I don't want to get in any trouble, but there's a Eurosport.
No, we have the audio.
Oh, we do? Yeah. A Eurosport commentator named Bob Ballard, who was covering women's swimming. And here's what he said.
Well, the women just finishing off. You know what women like? Hanging around, you know, doing the makeup. Outrageous.
So
that got him fired? That's crazy.
Yes, first of all, it's so minor. If you're going to say something that's going to get you fired, I would hope that you could at least go for the gold and say something provocative. What the heck is this? I don't understand. He was watching the women's 4x100 freestyle relay. I don't even understand what this is. Maybe there's a history there. It is, I guess it's inappropriate, but if you were going to, you know sexism, Maggie, you can see it.
Yeah.
Is saying, like, women just sit around and do their makeup, is that a serious thing in the year 2024?
I mean, listen, I think you might be right there. He's been a long-time announcer, so I think there are maybe people who get a pass or can just apologize and they'd be willing to move on, but clearly that didn't happen here, and so I can't help but read into that. Because if you are a 20-year veteran of this and you say and slip up and say one thing and it's this, to not be able just to apologize and move past it makes me think that somebody wanted you out. Yeah. Either because this is not the first time or something. I don't want to, you know, I'm not here to destroy the guy's character, but that's what it made me think, because that comment in and of itself, to get kicked off the Olympics when you've been doing this for 20 years, does seem a little like you could just apologize for saying a boneheaded thing. I don't think he was actually being, it is sexist, but good God. I mean, we've heard way worse.
Yeah, I mean, he apologized, said he was a massive advocate of women's sports, but I think you're right. There might be more to the story. The whole thing was weird, and, you know, we've seen many stories like this where people say things. You've been on a mic. It's hard. I mean, you're kind of on a high wire when you're in live radio, live TV. So it's kind of a shame that that happened. Anyway, okay, you're okay. A stock down.
So my stock down, we're doing all Olympics here. I don't know how you make this type of mistake. Now, granted, they are just mistakes. This one seemed extremely egregious. The athletes from South Korea were introduced at the opening ceremonies as being from North Korea.
Is that bad?
I mean, that.
Well, you might as well do the other one then, the connected one to that.
Oh, South Sudan. Yeah. This is a stock up. South Sudan won their first Olympic basketball game in the history of that country. So stock up. They played the wrong anthem for them.
Stock down.
I mean, you know, let's get on our P's and Q's here, people. But the North Korea-South Korea thing, that's one you really can't. That's an error you cannot make.
I think both of the errors are pretty bad, to be totally honest with you.
They're both awful. But stock up definitely to South Sudan. That's a really cool story.
I'm going to do a stock down.
Okay, go.
And I'm going to speak for Pete Bilotti, who's not here today. The opening ceremonies were annoying. I'm just going to say it. There was something about them, and I can't exactly say what it is. It's NBC bragging about all the celebrities are there. You know, I don't need to see that Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick are at a cafe near the parade. Like, there was so much crap during that, the whole thing. And it went on forever.
It's
saw
a parade.
It twice. What's that?
It's a parade.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It just went on for, and at the end, when they were doing the last part of the torch, for some reason, it just struck me as a little on the obnoxious side.
A little over the top.
And then I didn't know what to think of it. I'm like, this is kind of entertaining. Then Bilotti, midway through the opening ceremony, Pete Bilotti, who's not here today, tweets, are the Olympics over yet? This is driving me crazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm on Team Bilotti in this one. Although the events have been great. The opening ceremony, a little annoying.
So I felt a little bad for LeBron James, which is kind of hard to do because he's got a lot of things going for him. He's the flag bearer. It's this great honor. But these opening ceremonies were all on boats going down the Seine, and it was a driving rainstorm. Yeah. So instead, he's just got to be like George Washington crossing the Delaware, holding the American flag up, just getting pelted in the face. At one point, he was wearing a poncho. I'm like, you know LeBron doesn't want to be caught dead in a poncho.
Also, one more thing about the opening ceremony. Like Peyton Manning, who was calling him, called that. You need Eli there. Where's Eli? I don't want to see Peyton Manning doing the opening ceremony with no Eli to have the little barbs going back and forth. I thought that was a very button-up Peyton Manning. That also annoying.
Somehow, Peyton Manning not enough for you these days.
Well, Peyton Manning doing the Olympic opening ceremonies and being all serious is like, I talked to this pole vaulter the other day. Get out of here. Just yell Omaha and be funny, dude.
Hashtag analysis. 855-212-4227. Coming up, the biggest story from the weekend. We've got it.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.